Brethren, we're going to read from the prophecy of Jeremiah. We begin in chapter 8 at verse 4 and read through to chapter 9 and verse 6. Now, text this evening is taken from the last verse of Jeremiah 8. That's verse 22. Moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall he turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast a seat, they refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle. Yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But my people know not the judgment of the Lord. How do ye say, we are wise, and the law of the Lord is with us? Most certainly in vain made he it. The pen of the scribes is in vain. The wise men are ashamed, they are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord, and what wisdom is in them? Therefore will I give their wives unto others, and their fields to them that shall inherit them. For every one, from the least even unto the greatest, is given to covetousness. From the prophet even unto the priest, every one dealeth falsely. For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes on the vine, nor figs on the fig tree, and the leaf shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. Why do we sit still? Assemble yourselves, and let us enter into the defence cities, and let us be silent there. For the Lord our God hath put us to silence, and given us water of gall to drink, because we have sinned against the Lord. We look for peace, but none, no good came, and for a time of health, and behold trouble. The snorting of his horses was heard from Dan. The whole land trembled at the sound of the neighing of his strong ones. For they are come and have devoured the land and all that is in it, the city and those that dwell therein. For behold, I will send serpents, cockatrices among you, which will not be charmed, and they shall bite you, saith the Lord. When I would comfort myself against sorrow, my heart is faint in me. Behold, the voice of the cry of the daughter of my people, because of them that dwell in a far country. Is not the Lord in Zion? Is not her king in her? Why have they provoked me to anger with their graven images and with their strange vanities? The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black, astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Oh, that my head were waters, and mine eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had in the wilderness a lodging place of wayfaring men, that I might leave my people and go from them, for they be all adulterers, an assembly of treacherous men. And they bend their tongues like their bow for lies, but they are not valiant for the truth upon the earth, for they proceed from evil to evil, and they know not me, saith the Lord. Take ye heed every one of his neighbour, and trust ye not in any brother, for every brother will utterly supplant, and every neighbour will walk with slanders. and they will deceive every one his neighbour, and will not speak the truth. They have taught their tongue to speak lies, and weary themselves to commit iniquity. Mine habitation is in the midst of deceit. Through deceit they refuse to know me, saith the Lord. A very sobering description of the children of Judah there in the prophecy of Jeremiah. And the way we dive into that whole area in our text this evening in Jeremiah 8 and verse 22, where we read, "Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is the health of the daughter of my people recovered?" Those three questions: is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Those three questions reflect the brokenheartedness as well as the astonishment of Jeremiah the prophet. The reason for Jeremiah's brokenheartedness and astonishment centered upon Judah's spiritually impoverished state. You see, Jeremiah was aware that by virtue of the ongoing sinfulness of the children of Judah, and that sinfulness was great, God was actually preparing to send judgment upon Judah in the form of the Babylonians under Nebuchadnezzar. And therefore he urgently called the children of Judah to repentance. He warned them of the impending judgment of God. But the children of Judah would not listen. Notwithstanding Jeremiah's warning, the spiritual leaders of Judah remained unperturbed. They maintained that all was well and the children of Judah had nothing to fear. What they said to the children of Judah is reflected in Jeremiah 8 and verse 11. "For they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace." Literally, those words actually mean that they have treated the fracture of my people superficially. The children of Judah's failure to seriously heed Jeremiah's warnings were distressing for the prophet. He knew that judgment was coming. And what made matters almost unbearable for him was that it seemed as though he was the only one who was actually concerned. The children of Judah themselves were comfortable in their sins. Few were perturbed about the prospect of the judgment of God. And the tragedy was that Jeremiah knew that there was a remedy. There was actually a remedy for this malaise, this spiritual malaise that had overtaken Judah. And indeed, he brought that remedy to the children of Judah. But Judah refused that remedy. Whatever he did, whatever he said, whatever steps Jeremiah took was met with opposition. Warn as he might, Jeremiah could not awaken the children of Judah from their spiritual slumber. Judah's indifference to his words of warning actually crushed the spirit of the prophet. You see that in verse 21 of chapter 8. He says there, "For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me." Jeremiah's heartfelt concern for the children of Judah led him to voice the three rhetorical questions of our text. Is there no balm in Judah? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Look at this word of God under this positive theme. There is a balm in Gilead. There is a balm in Gilead. Look, so therefore, firstly, at the available remedy, secondly, the sad reality, and finally, a personal encouragement. Was there no cure for the spiritual condition, the sad spiritual condition of the children of Judah? And the answer that Jeremiah knew was yes. Yes, there was a remedy. Yes, there was a balm in Gilead. Well then, if there was a balm in Gilead, was there a physician that could administer that balm? And again, Jeremiah knew with absolute certainty, yes, there was. There was a physician, indeed a great physician, who could apply that balm. Well then, asked Jeremiah finally, if there is a balm in Gilead, and if there is a physician capable of administering that balm, why is it that the health of the daughter of my people is not recovered? Why is the health of the daughter of my people, the spiritual health of the daughter of my people, not restored? The answer to that final question raises the real reason for Judah's spiritual state of health and her impending judgment under the hand of the Babylonians. The problem was not because there was not a balm in Gilead, nor was the problem that there was no physician to administer that balm. But the problem lay with the children of Judah themselves. The reason that spiritual health and strength of the children of Judah remained unresolved, why that spiritual health and strength had not been recovered, was because the children of Judah themselves had rejected the balm of the gospel, and they rejected the great physician of their souls. And this is often the reason that Christians today fail to access the spiritual healing available in the Word of God and which is administered by Jesus Christ, the great physician of our souls. The daughter of Jeremiah's people was hurt. The children of Judah were in spiritual disarray. The visible church in the Old Testament was sick, indeed more than sick, it was wounded, it was broken, it was fractured. The plight of some among the children of Judah was greater than others. Some retained a measure of spiritual sensibility. But viewed as a whole, the children of Judah were seriously, spiritually sick. They were suffering from the debilitating disease that has fallen upon all mankind and which has plagued every generation, generation to generation. The children of Judah, you see, were suffering from the disease of sin and the consequences of sin. This, of course, was a disease that was first manifested in Adam and Eve, but which has been cultivated and taken to new heights by succeeding generations. And the children of Judah were suffering from this illness. Indeed, she was afflicted in her entire being by this illness. We read of that in Jeremiah 8. And you would have noticed the extent and degree of that sin that was evident in the nation. The children of Judah were sick at heart. They were sick in their mind. They were sick in every aspect of their lives. And they suffered from a malignancy that attacked their understanding, that attacked their conscience, and attacked their affections. And as a result, their understanding had been blinded, their consciences had been dulled, and their affections had been alienated. And brethren, what should be appreciated is that this is a disease that continues to plague men and women today. It plagues men and women even in the Church of Jesus Christ today. As was the case in the days of Jeremiah, those who contract this disease are unable to think or to reason rightly. What are the signs of this disease? This disease manifests itself in all manner of transgression of the law of God. Manifests itself as it did in the case of the children of Judah, manifests itself in idolatry, in unbelief, in immorality, in pride, in covetousness, in self-centeredness, in worldliness, in bitterness, in lusts, in hatred, in every conceivable transgression of the moral law of God. That's a distressing disease. It incapacitates. It has residual effects that last a lifetime. And even when treated, there are ongoing complications associated with this disease. It's a disease that leads to much sorrow and to many tears. Anguish of heart and soul are some of the residual effects of this disease. It's a disease that leaves deep wounds and significant scars. And this is a disease with which all mankind has to deal. It's plagued every generation. We, in fact, in many respects, inherited this disease from our parents. As Paul declares in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." And the prophet Isaiah describes the nature and the effect of this disease in Isaiah 1 and verses 5 and 6, when he writes, "The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment." And this is an exceedingly serious disease, because if left untreated, it will inevitably lead to death. As Ezekiel declares in Ezekiel 18:4, "The wages of sin is death." And Paul says in Romans, "The soul that sinneth, it shall die." This disease of sin kills physically, spiritually, and eternally. Our text reveals that the daughter of Jeremiah's people was hurt. The children of Judah were seriously sick. Indeed, they were near to death on account of this disease of sin. A brief excursus through Jeremiah 8 reveals the seriousness of their condition. For example, in verses 5 and 6 of chapter 8, we read, "Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by a perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit. They refuse to return. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, What have I done? Everyone turned to his course as the horse rusheth into the battle." In other words, those in Judah were full of deceit. There was no repentance to be found among them. None of them turned back to the Lord, but every one of them actually pursued their own course. The children of Judah were absorbed with their sinful way of life. Sin was an accepted part of their life. They walked in the way of sin. They refused to turn from their sin, and they were not ashamed of their sin. That's what we read in Jeremiah 8, verse 12. "Were they ashamed," asks Jeremiah, "were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, They were not ashamed at all, neither could they blush. They could not even, as it were, give any facial indication that they were aware of their sin. They could not even blush. The children of Judah were wounded. They were broken. But the problem was they did not appreciate the seriousness of their condition. They thought that all was well. That the children of Judah should find themselves in such a debilitating spiritual condition, it was astonishing. And the reason that it was so astonishing was because there was a readily available cure for the condition with which they were afflicted. And that remedy had been conveyed to them by the prophet Jeremiah. In fact, there was a complete remedy available to them. In the language of Jeremiah, there was a balm in Gilead. Now, balm was an ancient healing ointment or salve made from the resin of a pine tree. And the resin was often mixed with honey to produce a balm or a paste. And the Old Testament scriptures refer on several occasions to the balm of Gilead, because Gilead, which lay east of the Jordan, was known for this medicinal balm. The balm of Gilead was celebrated throughout the then known world for its amazing medicinal qualities. So there was a balm in Gilead. But not only was there a balm in Gilead, but there was also physicians in Gilead. Physicians in Gilead who were skilled in the use and the application of this balm. And these physicians or healers were skilled in the application of this balm to the wounds and sores of men. When Jeremiah here asks, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? He is concerned, of course, was not with a physical balm that was able to heal physical wounds. Nor was his concern with whether there was a physical physician who was able to administer that physical balm. Jeremiah's concern was actually with the children of Judah's spiritual condition. His concern was with their spiritual wounds and their spiritual struggles and their need for spiritual healing and restoration and recovery. His concern was with the binding up and treatment of the children of Judah's spiritual wounds by the great spiritual physician. The good news, as Jeremiah was well aware and as Jeremiah had conveyed to the children of Judah, was that there was a remedy. There was a remedy for the children of Judah's spiritual condition. And not only was there a spiritual remedy, a spiritual balm, but there was also a spiritual physician who could administer that remedy to them. What was that balm or remedy? What was that spiritual balm or remedy? The balm or remedy was the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It was the good news of the gospel, the good news of salvation in the promised Messiah, the good news of the taking away and the removal of their sins. You see, brethren, the gospel was and still is the only remedy that can heal the heart and mind that has been broken and wounded and scarred by sin. And that remedy can only properly be administered and applied by the great physician himself, Jesus Christ. Now, Jesus Christ was actually being pointed to here by Jeremiah so many years before Christ would ever be born. Jesus Christ was the one that would apply the spiritual remedy to the hearts and minds of the people of God. How would he do that? Jesus Christ would do that through the work of the Holy Spirit. Through the work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ would apply the balm of the gospel to the wounded, the broken, the scarred, and the troubled soul. The Spirit of God would bring that good news of the gospel, and he would bring it and apply it to the deep, painful wounds and scars occasioned by sin. He ministers that remedy to the hearts and minds of those bowed down under the burden of sin. And with that balm, the Spirit of God binds up the severest of wounds and fractures and mends the hearts of those that have been pierced by their own sins. How does he do that specifically? He works in the hearts of men and women. He works faith and repentance in them. He reveals to them the grace and the beauty of the all-sufficient Saviour. He points them to Jesus Christ. He sets Jesus Christ before them. He enables them to confess their sins, to repent of their sins. And he speaks words of comfort to those to whom he applies that balm. He assures them that all is well, all is right with God. And he gives to them to understand that in Jesus Christ, their sins are put away, their sins are forgiven. And he assures them that they no longer stand condemned before God. He enables them to believe the promises of the gospel. He enables them to appreciate that though everything in their lives may seem to be in turmoil, yet in Jesus Christ there is hope and joy. The application of the balm of Gilead was part and parcel of the ministry of Jesus Christ. One of the notable features of the ministry of Jesus was that he actually performed many acts of healing. He enabled the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the frail to be strengthened, the lepers to be healed. Indeed, he restored even the dead to life again. And all these miracles of healing demonstrated the power, the healing power of Jesus Christ. It revealed that he was, in fact, the great physician, the physician not just of the body, but the physician of the soul. The miracles of healing that Jesus performed were not merely demonstrations of his power. They were that, but they were more than that. They were pictures or parables of the grace and spiritual healing to be found in Jesus Christ. Each of the diseases or conditions that Jesus addressed depicted some aspect of sin and the debilitating consequences of sin, from which Jesus, through his work upon the cross of Calvary, afforded healing. For example, when he healed the blind, he showed that he was able to open the eyes of the spiritually blind to see things of the kingdom of heaven, to see and behold spiritual truth and spiritual realities. When he healed the lame, he demonstrated that in him was to be found the ability to live in obedience to the word of God. When he opened the ears of the deaf, he revealed that he had the power to open the spiritual ears of the spiritually deaf so they could hear and receive the spiritual truths of the word of God. In the healing of the palsied, he demonstrated that he could spiritually strengthen those who were spiritually weak and struggling. In the healing of lepers, there we see a picture of the wonder of God's grace, that in and through Jesus Christ, sinners can be cleansed from the corruption and influence of sin. When he raised the dead to life, Jesus Christ showed that he was able to spiritually restore those who were spiritually dead to spiritual life. You see, the miracles of Jesus Christ were not performed merely to deliver men and women from physical ailments and suffering. He certainly did that through the miracles. But Jesus' primary concern was not so much with the outward manifestations of healing, but his concern was primarily with spiritual issues, with spiritual blindness, spiritual deafness, spiritual disease, spiritual death. His concern was with sin and the effects of sin. Every miracle of healing that Jesus performed in some ways was a sermon, the theme of which was the miracle of spiritual healing, the miracle of spiritual healing that came through Jesus Christ and through the cross. What Jesus did in terms of physical healing was glorious, but his acts of physical healing were not to be compared with the far greater acts of healing that he manifested in terms of his spiritual healing. What those miracles of Jesus Christ reveal is that there is no wound, no bruise, no brokenness, no scar, no hurt that Jesus Christ, through his Spirit, cannot bind up and heal. There was and there is a balm in Gilead. And there was and there is in Jesus Christ a skilled physician who is able to bind up every spiritual wound and to heal every spiritual hurt. And brethren, this is the balm and this is the physician that each of us actually needs. Our own sins mean that in so many ways, we are spiritually wounded, spiritually bruised, spiritually broken, spiritually scarred and spiritually hurt, men and women. And we absolutely need Jesus Christ to apply the balm of Gilead to us. Now, though there was a balm in Gilead, and though there was a physician there, the sad truth was that the children of Judah refused to avail themselves of that balm and of that physician. And they refused that help and assistance even though they were drowning in their sins. The truth was that so far as the children of Judah were concerned, their sins were destroying them. The remedy was available, and Jeremiah had set that remedy before them. He'd brought them the word of God. He'd pointed them to Jesus Christ, to the Messiah, and to the spiritual healing that was to be found in him. But the children of Judah did not want that remedy. What irony. The condition of the children of Judah, the spiritual condition of the children of Judah, could have been healed. There was a balm in Gilead. The gospel of Jesus Christ had been declared to them by Jeremiah. Jeremiah had pointed them to the Christ to come. He proclaimed to them the good news of the gospel. But the children of Judah rejected that remedy. Hence Jeremiah's grief. There was a balm in Gilead, and there was a physician who could apply that balm. And hence his question, why then was not the health of the daughter of his people recovered? Why was the health, the spiritual health of his people not restored? There was help. There was a remedy. There was a physician. But the children of Judah refused to take hold of that remedy and to access that physician. And as a result, many, many, many perished spiritually in Jeremiah's day. And the same, brethren, really holds true today. Within the visible church, even, one can observe many Christians that are spiritually wounded, bruised, broken, scarred, and hurt by sin. And many even know, through the preaching, that there is a balm in Gilead, and that there is a physician there. They know of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They know of Jesus Christ, the great physician. And yet, for many, many even within the veil of Christendom, their wounds and their bruises are not dressed, their brokenness and their scars are not attended to. Instead, they struggle on in their own strength, and they refuse the remedy, and they refuse the help of the physician. Why is that? Why would men and women reject the remedy and reject the physician? Why do they simply seek to struggle on and live with their wounds and their bruises and their brokenness? Why, employing Jeremiah's words, is not the health of the daughter of God's people restored? Now, from the context here, there are actually a number of reasons. Very quickly, the children of Judah were engaged in religious formalism. They rested in the outward forms of religion. They went through the motions of religious worship. They outwardly acknowledged God, but they did not wholeheartedly embrace him, nor did they embrace his Christ. The second reason why many in Judah were not healed lay also with the false teachers of that day. There were false teachers, as we've already noted, false teachers who propounded those views that we read in Jeremiah 8 and verse 11, where they said, "Peace, peace," when in fact there was no peace. And such leaders, though they ought to have warned the children of Judah of the impending judgment that were to come, they should have called the people to repentance and to faith. Instead, actually told the people there was nothing to fear, nothing to be concerned about. And they lulled the people into a false sense of security. And perhaps the third and most significant reason, at least in this passage, as to why the children of Judah rejected the balm of Gilead and the physician to apply it, was because of the hardness of their own hearts. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? As we read, not at all. Many in Judah were absolutely insensible to their sins. They did not really regard themselves as sinners. They viewed themselves actually as spiritually healthy. And they saw that they had no need of the balm of Gilead or of the great physician. That fundamentally is why the health of the daughter of Jeremiah's people was not recovered. It was because of the hardness of the hearts of the people. That's why so many in that day struggled on with their spiritual wounds. That's why many, even in Christendom today, struggle on with their spiritual wounds and don't seek the balm of Gilead nor the help of the great physician. Brethren, it's only as we actually recognize that we are sinners and that we stand in need of help that we will ever look for that remedy and seek the help of the great physician. I guess that raises the question for all of us, brethren. Do we recognize who and what we are, what our state is before the Lord? Or do we simply take those things and smooth the thoughts of them over so that we don't concern ourselves with them? It's difficult for us to say, isn't it, that we don't know that there is a balm in Gilead. It's difficult for us to assert that we're not aware that there is a physician who is capable of administering that balm. So if that's true, why would we not seek that remedy? And why would we not look for that physician to administer the remedy to us? Is it because of the hardness of our own hearts? Well, this word of God has a very contemporary and relevant message. The truth is, none of us have actually escaped the ravages and effects of sin. The reality is that all of us stand in need of healing. Healing for our own sins, healing for the hurts that we have suffered on account of the sins even of others. And the good news of the gospel is that there is a balm in Gilead. And the good news of the gospel is that there is a skilled physician who is able to apply that balm to us. And so the question arises, how can we access that balm? How can we access this physician? The answer is to look to the cross and the finished work of Jesus Christ. But how do we do that? It's all very well to say, look to the cross, look to the finished work of Jesus Christ. How do we do that? We should use the means of grace. They're the means of grace for that, and the very term describes what they are. They're the means by which we can access the unmerited favour of God. They're the God-appointed means whereby we can access the remedy and also the physician. What do I mean by the means of grace? What are the God-appointed means? The scriptures are one of the means of grace. The Bible, 66 books of the Old and New Testament. We ought to spend time reading God's word. We should spend time not only reading it, but spend time reflecting upon it. We ought also to consistently bring ourselves under the preaching of the Word of God. That's what we do Lord's Day by Lord's Day. That's why we too as a church focus upon the preaching of the Word. The preaching of the Word is central to the gathering in of men and women to a living faith in Jesus Christ. So read the Bible. Spend time meditating upon it. Learn more of the Bible through the preaching of the Word. What else can we do? Well, we can seek the Lord in prayer. We can confide in Him all of the concerns and anxieties of our hearts. We can plead with Him that He might reveal to us the very nature of the remedy that He's provided, and that He might indeed also open our eyes to the great physician of our souls. Let's converse with the Lord through prayer. And perhaps another thing that we can do also as part of the use of the means of grace is to converse with others. Converse with those who themselves have accessed that balm and who have been treated by the great physician. Speak to them about these things. Hear what they have to say. Learn from them. Brother, no matter how deep your wounds, and no matter how broken you may be, no matter how great your sins, no matter how great the hurts you may have suffered, the balm of Gilead, administered by Jesus Christ, is able to heal. Jeremiah asks, is there a balm in Gilead? Yes, there is. A complete and perfect balm. A balm that can heal every condition. Is there a physician to administer that balm? Yes, there is. There is a skilled physician who is able to administer that balm to every soul. Brethren, you do not need to struggle on spiritually wounded, spiritually bruised, spiritually broken, spiritually hurt. There is help. Seek that help. What does Jesus Christ say in Matthew 11, verses 28 through 30? He says this, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." May the Lord bless his word to us this afternoon. Amen.